Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life World Christian Tabernacle International Noon Day Bible Study. Glad to be here today. We thank God for another day He spared us, another day He kept us. Hallelujah, with a mind to be in His presence, a mind to come and study His Word. We greet you on behalf of our co-founder, Austin Service Smith, and our senior pastor, Pastor Osabar Hartman. We thank God for you. This is Life and World Christian Tabernacle International, located at 583 Highway 165, North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Hallelujah. We are a global ministry. We are worldwide, and we thank God for His mercy and His grace towards us. We continue to try to excel in His Word and try to understand it better, better and better. We thank God for this day. We are studying today the book of Revelation, and we are in the second chapter. We're dealing with the fourth church, and Thyatira. Amen. We thank God that God is revealing to us what we should not be, hallelujah, and what we shall be, hallelujah, and repentance is the way. So we thank God for that. Before we get started, we're going to have a word of prayer. I want to clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, thank God, for another day and another opportunity, Lord God, to lift your name, Lord, give you praise. Hallelujah. And so thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness in our lives, Lord God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God,
thank
we come before you right now,
thank
Lord.
You.
Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, for your anointing. We thank you for your power, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for your love and your mercy, oh God, towards us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you have instructed us, Lord God, to trust you with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all things to acknowledge you and put others our pathway. So, God, we thank you that you will continue to keep that word in our hearts, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that we know that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, the world. And they will dwell there and everything belongs to you. So, God, we thank you for it. God, we give you glory for it. Lord God, we magnify your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every person that will meet you online. Lord God, we go with face to face, Lord God. We're praying, Lord God, that you will supply every need, God, according to your wisdom and glory in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your healing power. Your healing virtue in our lives, oh God. Father, help us, Lord God, to heal and help us to move forward in you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we repent of anything that we have said or done and the actions that we did or should have did but didn't do, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your manifested power, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are a forgiven God. Because, Father, we lift our hands, we lift our heart, we lift our mind, we lift our soul, our spirit unto you, Lord, because you are the one, oh God. Hallelujah. So, Father, we bless you right now, God. We glorify you, Lord. And we are praying, Lord God, that you will be with us this day. Keep us, Lord. Motivate us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And, Father, we pray that this word, as we hear this word today, study this word today, that we will be more enlightened as to what you are saying to us in these times. God, we give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor. Thank you.
From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. So good. With every breath of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For though my life you have been faithful. Oh, yes you have. Though my life you have been so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Mentioned their work twice, but he mentioned the increase of that work. So he gave them six stars, so to speak, where he commended them on what they've been doing. And their works have increased until they were more than the first works. And then he began to say, but I have some things against you, and there's four things sins against them. And I began to look at this this church, and I think he spent more time this church, more verses. We're over, I think, over 12 verses on this, dealing with this one church. And so, four things he said have against you. You're permitting Jezebel to teach. You're permitting her to seduce the Christians to commit fornication. Permitting her to seduce Christians to eat things sacrificed to idols. And you're tolerating her in spite of the impotence. So you're tolerating her, and you're allowing her to teach. And we talked about Jezebel on last week, and the first, you know, we always have the law of first mention when you deal with interpretation. And the law of first mention, first time Jezebel was mentioned was with Ahab, right? And she set the standard of what Jezebel be. She was a wicked woman, and she was self-absorbed. She abused power. She was manipulated. She was self-righteous, and you know the thing about self-righteous people, they are also judgmental, and they try to police everybody else. Never themselves, and so never seeing themselves in things, but always seeing everybody, every little mistake, like Mr. Ollie always said, got that beam in their eye, trying to get a splint out of somebody else's eye. And that spirit never want to succumb to anything other than themselves, because they put themselves in the place of God. They are the last voice in the matter. They have the final say. And anytime somebody feels that way about themselves, you cannot tell them anything. You cannot show them themselves. It was every time I think about King David, he committed this great crime. I mean, great injustice, but he never saw himself. He thought everything was good. He wanted the baby to be born. I mean, he thought everything was good. He thought he was right in his own eyes. He was right. So even though we say Jezebel was a female, but we know that spirit, and I say the characteristic of her carried over even in a man like David. But he thought he was so right because he was king. He had the right, according to the law, to do as he pleased, but he was still wrong. But he didn't see it wrong in what he was doing. And so in order for God to get to David, to save David, to redeem David, he had to show David himself, but in somebody else. So Nathan knew through the strategy of Jesus that he cannot go to David and tell David these things, because that would mean death. You can't raise him on a king any kind of way. So when he came to David, he gave David a story. He gave him a story, and what happened, David got sucked into the story. Where he saw the man, now he's not looking at himself, but he saw the injustice in the story. And so the only way a person with a Jezebel spirit would ever repent is for them to see the story of somebody else's injustice and then realize, woe is me. Now, some people will never admit is me. Because they are still self-righteous. I am still right. And the reason why I did what I did was this. You know, they got to read. And sometimes they got scriptures. Sometimes they got scriptures to defend what they're doing. But when David saw the injustice in the story, he became so aggrieved over this injustice because he didn't see himself in it. So when Nathan saw him getting sucked into it and respond to it, he said, "Thou art the man." Because they wanted to kill the man. He was, this man don't need to live any good. This man only had one issue left. It was a parable. But what it did was, it got David to recognize himself. The problem with Jezebel, she don't see herself. That spirit don't see, because David had a heart after God. Even though he was self-righteous, and so we can be in church, we can be Holy Ghost filled, and get caught up in the spirit of being self-righteous, and try to police everybody, and try to tell who you're doing wrong, don't never see good. But God got a way to reveal you in the story if you are the call of God.
On Monday, I had a room class. I did 30 days. Then they were saying, so they were saying to me, the Bible says, "Push not my feet. Can you do that talking on him?" I said, "The problem is, he's not his father." That's the problem. Oh, yes, I mean, I said, "Not acting like that, you know."
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm acting like that. And later on, I said, "Well, I don't know if that came from because I never told you that."
Right.
But I said, "You know, if I'm not with people." And my spirit was really so sad from that, on Tuesday, I think it was on Tuesday, I kind of cried out to the Lord because I said, "Lord, you know, when I go up, I don't like to bring the wrong reproach against you."
Right.
That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I have to really, really do it before God. I mean, it didn't. It's like my spirit was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord let me know, he said, "You got to remember, it's not the person, it's the spirit in the that don't like that spirit."
That's good.
But, I mean, I was so big time. So I'm like, finally the Lord said, "Bless me, come out and give me my first."
Yes. Because again, they are self-righteous. No matter what they do, it's right. Their eyes. They're not seeing it from God's perspective. They're not looking at God seeing you treating his people a certain way. Oh, everybody belongs to God. So no matter who you are, God looking at you, watching you, destroying, trying to discourage, trying to pollute, or trying to do anything with his people. And this was the problem with this lady whose name was Jezebel. But she was a woman, a physical woman in that church. And it was not a mistake. And naming her Jezebel. Because as we begin to study this revelation, that names mean something. Mean something. So it's not a mistake that her name is Jezebel. She is the epitome of what Jezebel is. And so the thing is that the situation with David is because he wanted to see, we want to do right. We can get caught up in things unawares and like this detaching the church. Got caught up allowing Jezebel to be. Got caught up in allowing stuff to come through the church and allow her to do stuff. Got caught up. Maybe she did some miracles. Maybe she did some signs. Maybe she did some wonders.
Yeah.
Oh, this maybe the church can't. Maybe people can't in. And so the thing was that it whatever it was, it blinded the leader's eyes. And so and that spirit has that power because it manipulates. It's a python spirit where it comes in unaware and manipulates. And so that's what she did with the first Jezebel, did with her husband Ahab. She manipulated him. And because he was not a man with backbone, she said it like this. Yes. And see, women like that cannot stand a real man. Want a hand-packed man that they can just throw and manipulate and do and to be in control of situations. That's what this spirit is about. Being in control and dominating and making sure things go their way. And so God has a way. Those people who love him and got caught up in it can be redeemed. Yeah. There's a way. Look, David is a perfect example. Because he, in his own head, he didn't do this. What was going on in this story? That wasn't him. King David. That's what I'm saying. No, that what I'm saying is, when he realized, when he really saw himself as the person in the story, because first he saw the story and got engrossed in the mishap, the injustice that was going on, to the point where he began to respond to it. And then when he realized that, wow, instead of looking out the window, I'm looking in the mirror. The man in the mirror. Take a look at the man in the mirror. So when he saw himself, because he really wanted to do good, although he got caught up in that, he really, in his heart, wanted to be good. But when he saw himself, that's when he said, Psalm 50, created me clean heart, and have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to the multitude of your tender mercy. Block out my transgression. He went to God. He said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Now, if that's a Jezebel spirit, and you never say they've done evil. They're always right. And so we're going to see in this verse, we're going to deal with the same, that Jezebel is never going to say, I'm wrong. And some people have a way to say, I apologize or whatever, but they ain't really accept it because there's no change. Repentance means change.
Right.
You really don't believe it. You really don't believe it. So, but that spirit won't succumb to authority. Because David said, against thee. So he went to the high authority. Because now he's king. Nobody's over him but God. Right? So he went to the highest authority. He said, against you. Although I sinned against this man and his family. I sin against them, but I want you to know that it's God. It's you, God, that I sin against. It's not this person. Yes, I did them wrong. But my greatest sin is against
you. Yeah.
So when we realize that, because God sees it all, He sees it from His perspective, not ours. Because when you're down in the mud, all you see is mud. When you're down here, this level here, all you see is what you see. Mm-hmm. But God sees it from the top.
And
the only way repentance happens, we're about to start on verse 21. 221. The only way repentance or salvation occurs is the first thing is acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Even AA, Yoga Namas, whatever,
yeah.
If you want drugs and want to get off, the first thing you got to do is admit, I am an alcoholic. Well, salvation ain't no business. You first got to admit you're a sinner. That's the only, you ain't gonna never get saved. You don't admit you're a sinner, how you gonna get saved? So if you never admit you're wrong, you never get right. You will never get right. So this Jezebel spirit never admits I'm wrong. So they never get right. They're all caught up in their own thing and won't even see from your perspective. See how it's impacting. No, because I'm here. I'm looking down at you. Again, self-righteous.
I know I'm talking about myself. This is the sad thing when you got believers in the church. If you go to the woman and apologize, they do not apologize. And guess what they do? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, forgive.
Yeah.
He has said that I have a choice. Mm-hmm. That if I want you and I feel like you can't do it, and I say, I'm not
going to
tell you,
that's not true. We got a fresh piece of forgiveness no matter what. And that ain't easy to do. I'm a witness. It ain't something, especially if somebody is repeating the same over and over. It ain't easy to forgive. It ain't. Because you can forgive today, and then a couple of minutes later, right after you get it again, it ain't easy. But you got to forgive. But it ain't easy. And it's so hard. That God says He had a way that He forgives. He puts it in the sea.
Yeah.
I ain't got no sea of forgiveness. Give me one dollar. Give me a sea of forgiveness. Because I still remember. And then when it happens again, it brings it up afresh. So now I got to go back again and fight that. So. But we still got to forgive. Because Jesus said on the cross that forgive them for they know not what they do. So, I was studying this the other morning, that Jesus is saying that I'm going to give them a way out. They do not know what they do. And so, I'm going to say to them, that no matter what, forgive. They're ignorant of what they were doing. They didn't understand what they were doing. So in order to ease or to be easy to forgive, you have to take that posture. They don't know what they're doing. It's like a baby that you went to kiss them and they slap you in the face. You're not going to take offense in that. Well, you should. I'm just saying. As a baby, because you know that baby is innocent. And so you have to then take people offense that way. It ain't easy. But that's the process you got to get to. So you can get to that place where you want to. But you can say, I forgive. But you have to really give that over to God. He's the only one who can do that.
If you come to me and ask for forgiveness, God knows your heart.
Oh, yeah.
You don't give me that authority. Mm-hmm. So I saw me if you were doing it or not. That's just to you.
Absolutely, because then you become again yesterday.
Right.
You begin to say, "Oh, I'm in God's place now. I'm telling you what you why you." And I'm telling you, people who has the spirit will tell you why you do it then, as if they're God. You didn't answer your phone because you didn't want to talk. You didn't want to hear from me. You're not with the person. And they're not answering, but you don't know why. But you're going to tell them why. Again, you're God. Because you even if the person explained your circumstances, you still should have answered your phone. But that's a God spirit. Where you're telling the person, you heard the phone. You just didn't want to answer. Because that's the spirit that's in that person that's coming out.
I was going to say, I'm still probably in here. I said that. And I'm going to send another phone. Oh, yeah. I'm going to do that. Never did you call. You know. And he called right now. Okay, well, I'm going to do that. Yeah. Oh. Okay, Jesus. That's
the only
call. But they just built up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Right.
Yeah. I thought you said you can call. Don't let go. But so, and like you say, they... automatically because
it's
expecting,
A lot of times people will do that because that's the demonstration of that spirit. That I'm right. Everybody else. So when you get to that place, you're just dangerous. So let's see if any other comments we can take. 21. Elder, you want to? 21.
Okay,
Revelation 2,
New American Standard Bible, and Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. It says, I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her sexual immorality. Boy, I don't know how much time is going to take. You know, that God, I mean, Jesus is talking, you know, I don't know. But anything, like you say, he's such a well-being and a strong-owned and such a strong man of this sexual immorality has taken us over that view. And then if you don't know God, like, you know, know God, it's like you've been there to destroy, not to destroy. Thank you.
you know, something in me can tell you that it's not right. But like you say, because it has a self-righteousness and a control in you, that I see, you know, right, it's in my own eyes, I made it feel it. But I'm in practice sexuality. So you look around, 95% not doing it, and you look about one of the small majority of that church, you get something on it telling you that it's not right. So that I think it was time to repent. I was like, wow. But not repenting that I even want to repent. We enjoying sin so much. Yeah, you enjoying sin so much that it's almost become a nature and in you that and well, I know that that's not the reason. Control now that I thought it was just appalling that just ago, and like I said, we made sure we found that hey, he was in the diagnosis there, and they were at that time they didn't have to stop them, but they, you know, were diagnosed, you know, not become better or well, and they knew it, but yet, and knowing they had to volunteer, but they were going to die from the day to the other people. That's been in the same. But then again, it's a great street because they formed in on folks that were probably boosting their morality. And so to do that type of person, you know, if you're to check the immorality yourself, get yourself into, you know, a lot of trouble.
I
I'm hearing the first lesson that 7 times 7. I'm hearing those. But at some point, there must be a turning point. It's just a turning point.
David knew God.
Yeah.
He knew God.
But he got caught up in a situation where he acted as God. Took a man's wife, put the man to death, took life out of somebody. He put himself in the place of God. But he knew God. So when Nathan was able to demonstrate him a picture of injustice, and then he recognized himself in the story, that's when David, who knew God, able to repent, because then he knows doing something wrong. But Jezebel never seen herself as wrong. She was all that the magazine. She was that. So no repent, no matter how much time God gave her, and that's why he didn't put a length of time. Didn't matter the duration. The result is she will not repent. And she don't want to. She don't want to. Now there's some people that's addicted to stuff, that want to change, that want to get off, but in their own strength they can't. That's how I was on alcohol and cigarettes. I wanted to get off, but in my strength I couldn't, until God did the work. So, but her, she ain't trying to get off. She's loving, she's living the life. She's living the life. And so that's where the difference comes.
I come to the conclusion that this is the answer. This is the revelation. And the one here in 2023 is named Jezebel. The other thing is now she also carries the Jezebel spirit. And that is the spirit that she has. Now, why she was chosen to be Jezebel and carry that spirit? So even if this Jezebel is not a female spirit, it's not a female. So we're talking about the mankind, the same spirit. This spirit don't have nothing but what we're talking about. This spirit don't have nothing but that. So when this spirit is doing what it does, it's doing what it's supposed to do. So it can't change. That's that spirit. So now that particular spirit can get over him. But they get over him more. And when that particular spirit is at work, that is what is going to happen. That they're going to be acting in those ways. Now, the scripture says, I gave her time to repent, but she was unwilling to repent. So then that gives to an opinion that God is saying now that I showed her something. I showed her the right way, but she didn't want to repent. You understand what I'm saying? But as far as talking about the Jezebel spirit, the Jezebel spirit is the Jezebel spirit, and the Jezebel spirit is going to be the Jezebel that you are. Whether it's a female or a male. So the other thing is concerning Jezebel's spirit and not forgiving. If you don't forgive, God is not going to forgive us. That's the point that we got to give to kids. So we brought it in time. And this ain't talking necessarily to them folks back down. It's talking to us today. So the thing is that God himself is not, we can't lie. So we go now. We put you on the bed of sleep. Yes. And we put you on the bed of sleep. Now the thing is that we can wire sometimes people so that sick and on the bed of sleep and we think that they can do something wrong. But the Bible, we need to remember what the Bible said. Now not everybody that's on the bed of sleep is going to do something wrong. Just because they're sick or because something is going on with them. Do not mean that they are self-wrong. We deal with this type of situation right here is unforgiving. You don't want to forgive.
you can forgive or you feel like you can forgive. I remember telling a testimony about I was really pissed off with somebody. And I thought that I had a right to be pissed off with that person. But it was more than that. I was really pissed off. I was mad at that person. And I thought that I had the right to be pissed off. But guess what? I brought my own self into it because I kept on holding on to the fact that I'm mad and I want to be mad. And then guess what? When I wanted to not be mad, that's the part that we got to do. Because if we don't forgive, God's going to hold us to that. He's going to hold us to it. I don't care what somebody else is doing.
That's
we are responsible for our own selves. We got to. We got to forgive. He as an individual, I have to forgive. Regardless. That's why he put that in his life. That's saying he wants to forgive in order for me to forgive him. That's why he's saying it. He said nothing about it to you. So we ain't got to do that. Got to have a neighbor's mind. So what happened with me was I stood up in the midst of ministry. They asked if anyone needed a prayer. I couldn't even want to talk to that person. But I had brought my own self to it. Because I thought that I was okay being mad. But I got to a place of being mad that I couldn't get my own self out of it. So they asked me what I needed a prayer for. That was the difference. I stood up in here. We can listen to this guy and just take him a test. And I stood up in the midst of these men right in the middle of the floor. And I don't want to get to that place one day. Because the man here said, I stood in the middle of the floor and people prayed for me and I was only intending. I'm telling y'all this because it's really important that you have an opportunity that if you don't forgive, God is just scared. And you're holding your own self to damage. Hold your own self to damnation. Not me. Not you. Hold your own self to damnation. So they prayed for me. I didn't feel anything like I was delivered or anything when they got to praying for me. But one day I went to the shop. But the beauty shop and the spirit came over me. I was like, Lord. I laughed at you. And because I felt now I can go and talk to you, so it can change. Spirit, when it breaks, then you know it's wrong. Because you know you ain't want to talk to that person yet. But let me tell you, when it's broke, then I was able to talk to that person, get that thing right, and then I realized how big a fool I had been, how messed up I was. Of not to get it. But I did get to a place that I knew that I couldn't do it by myself. Yeah. You have to get somebody else to do it. Thank you, Ginger. Yeah.
All right. That was that was
I know where it is, but I don't want to get to that point no more. It's
when you do. That's right.
You know, don't wait for that person, because they don't even know you're not willing. You are the one to go and make that correction before you can even come to hear him, because you don't hear that. And so we get that part right, you don't hear. So we just pray instead of this to the wall. Nothing is reaching heaven because we haven't made it right, and it's not about who is the wall. It's just who he expects to make it right.
Yes.
And he put that on us.
You know, as you children, we know, you know, we know what we need to do, what we're supposed to do, what's required of us to do, but we tend to like to hold it a little bit longer.
And we're always trying to God's hands on our behalf.
Yeah.
That he's not going to move. We give God, but he's not going to move to keep that heart. That heart has to be right. It's got to be right.
Then
you're going to
be empty.
But it goes back to having control. You're gonna You and God and all that, but you and God, you and God.